This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Saturday morning. Taking a little ride. The weather, hopefully, will be better, and it should be a little bit better. That doesn't mean it's great, but that means it's better than it was yesterday on this Saturday. So with the forecast is interesting. There's a chance of rain this afternoon, but it decreases at game time for the Phillies. So it looks like, obviously, they're going to, I would say there's a really good chance that game will be played today. No rainouts this weekend, although I haven't looked at Sunday yet. But whatever. Phillies win a game last night, which they really needed to win, obviously, after losing two in a row to Atlanta. They won, but it wasn't pretty. The Mets were brutal. Boy, the Mets have turned into a bad baseball team. Between the error in the first inning and then a ball that was ruled a hit because nobody touched it, which led to more runs. Phillies didn't exactly knock the ball out of the around the ballpark, but they won. So the thing that's it's hard to understand, and we're almost halfway through the season, which really hard to understand. Right, the Phillies are what, 3 games over .500. We're talking about that like it's a great thing. I mean, it's good that they're above 500 rather than below 500, but I just can't figure out why offensively they're so inconsistent. We see, even though Bryce Harper is hitting right around 300, and I think he's at 299 now, he's not hitting home runs, and they need that. But, and then the hit he got last night was a little bloop to left field. Rob Thompson can't say, well, he hit the ball hard last night, because he didn't. And then he was obviously not happy with his game, and he kind of gave away that at bat on that last strikeout. He's swinging at a pitch that normally he wouldn't swing at. Obviously he's frustrated. I mean, that's one of them. Trey Turner gets a hit last night, but he's not hitting the way he should hit. And when Rob Thompson said the other day, well, you know, Harper, you know, well, we know he'll hit home runs. And I forget who he may have named after that, but he named Trey Turner. Trey Turner will hit some home runs, but he's not going to hit a lot of home runs. You know, if he hits 20, that's not a lot in today's game. But I don't know that he's going to get to 20 this year. He'd have to go on a hell of a run in the second half of the season. But I don't know that he's really a home run hitter. He's just a good hitter that's not a good hitter right now. But the issues are baffling. it's hard to understand why this team can't hit. So we'll talk about that, or why they don't hit well enough. I don't say they can hit, but they didn't. The Mets really helped them a lot in that game last night with the way they played. And they got some hits when it counted, but the last run was a sacrifice fly, but you got to put your bat on the ball, and that's what Stott did. But when I look around baseball, I'm trying to figure out why some of these other teams are so good, or teams that you didn't expect to be really good. I think we always kind of figure out Tampa's going to be good. They are just what a team. They just keep on getting good young players because they always lose their players because they don't pay them. They're really good. The Orioles are like 17 games over 500. They're really a good team, and we don't even pay attention to them because they're in the American League. They're really a good young team. The Texas Rangers lost Jacob DeGrom. I mean, they lose a pitcher they just go out and spend $180 million for. They lose him, and they're still a very good team. And then in the National League, Cincinnati Reds are amazing. You know, but I don't know that the Phillies could do what the Cincinnati Reds are doing right now. They won their 12th game in a row last night. Can the Phillies do that? I don't think they have the players offensively right now. And again, you could say, well, history shows they're going to be better. Well, history's not playing this year. They are playing, and there's just something offensively, because it's too inconsistent, it's not there. I'm a little surprised that they're not hitting better. I am more than a little surprised. But Cincinnati won 12 in a row. Miami's a good young team, and their best pitcher isn't even their best pitcher this year. San Francisco's 10 games over 500. Arizona became good. They're a good team. And we say, well, L.A.'s not as good, but I think L.A.'s like 9 games over 500 right now. And they're not, and they kind of seemed like they were trading off people to try to sign Ohtani after this year to fit him in, and because Ohtani's going to cost an unbelievable amount of money. But there's teams in the National League that, did you expect Cincinnati to be that good? Did you expect Miami to be that good? We kind of slept on San Francisco after a really good year. They didn't play well last year. Did you expect Arizona to be that good? You thought the Dodgers would be good. So here's the reality. After the Braves series, we realize, and by the way, when the Cincinnati Reds won last night, they were down 5-0. They were down 5-0, and they came back to win. It was 11-9 or I think 11-10. But they came back to win and then held on. It's just, and De La Cruz, what a good young player hit for the cycle. And this cycle is kind of statistic, which is hard to do, but for a young player, the shortest time ever that a player made the major leagues that hit for the cycle, whether that makes any difference, but it fit into a win. And the Reds, Joey Votto's back. He hit a couple home runs last night. You know, they have him, but they have some good young players. And the Reds lost three of their best starters this year to injury. I'm just amazed. So here's the reality of the situation. Are the Phillies good enough? Forget about the World Series. They're not good enough to win the division. I think people have to understand that. And that's not saying something that's, you know, it's just, oh, you just don't like the Phillies. I don't want to hear that. Does anybody think the Phillies are going to win the division? The answer is no. All right, they're not going to win the division. So they got to hope to be a wild card team, and they added an extra one last year, and that's how they got in. And they got to hope that works for them again this year to get in. You just want to get in, but they're not good enough to go to the World Series because there's too many good teams out there. But that's ahead of the game. I think there's questions on whether they're going to make the playoffs. And they won last night, so that's really important. They won the game, and you got to win. Doesn't matter how you win, but the Mets helped them out a lot in that game last night. The pitcher, another tough pitcher from the Mets, Scherzer's pitching today. But I'm just, with the inconsistencies with their offense, I don't think it's a lockdown that they're a playoff team. And that's really unbelievable to say that they're not a playoff team. They paid so many players. And we can talk about Kyle Schwarber all you want. Kyle Schwarber's going to have to play left field. It's that simple, unless he doesn't play the game. You can DH him once in a while if you give, but then you're giving Harper a rest. And they already gave Harper a rest, and he's still struggling. And it's got to be the injury. When you look at the history of Ohtani after he came back from that surgery, he only had 18 home runs the next year. So I don't know what it is. Ohtani is also a right-handed thrower, and a left-handed hitter. So that arm, when you hit, I don't know if it's strength. I don't want to hear about exit velocity that Rob Thompson tells us about. I don't want to hear about any of that stuff. He's a hitter that needs to hit home runs because he has been a home run hitter. All right, so we'll talk about that this morning. An interesting week for the Sixers because they didn't do a damn thing. Not a thing. You never even think about it, but it's the first time in the franchise's history that they didn't have draft picks on the day of the draft. I mean, how does that happen? Not that Daryl Morey is any good in the position he's in. They are not going to win a championship if Daryl Morey is running things. It's not going to happen. It looks like Harden's going to be back. All this Houston stuff is a bunch of just because they have money under the cap. But they're going to go out and sign good, younger players. They don't need James Harden back. So it looks like he's going to be back. I don't even want 2 years, but the Sixers would get lucky if Morey only signs him for 2 years. And then they didn't trade Tobias Harris, which I know people aren't happy about. That's because that fraud of a president general manager, Daryl Morey, overvalues every one of his players. And the people around the league know it, and they really don't like to deal with them. The last trade he made was the James Harden trade, and he got taken on that trade. I'm not opposed to trade Maxey now. If you want to move forward, if you were any good at a draft, and they're going to have a first-round pick next year, not a second-round pick. Not that they do anything with either one of those picks. I wouldn't be opposed to trading Maxey, and we'll see what people think about it. And then the Eagles. There was a narrative this week that I got to straighten out. I mean, I straightened it out on the air this week, and I got to straighten it out again. All this nonsense with Jalen Hurts runs too much. It's complete nonsense. He doesn't run too much because when you break down what he's done, only 65 of the 165 carries were runs. Only 65. I mean, this is just such absolute junk that people on WIP put out there that is factually 100% incorrect. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to listen to this and on a couple of the shows. It's just ridiculous. And then Brian Dawkins was on with the Midday guys yesterday from the Ron Jaworski Golf Tournament, which I think I played in the group. I played in the afternoon. I played five or six holes, and then it started pouring, and that was it. I got soaked just coming in. But anyway, it was a good day for a lot of people. They had fun. And Dawkins was on the air with those guys. And he says that the players don't worry about the schedule. That might be all well and good. But the schedule does factor. I really believe the schedule does factor in to teams not getting back to the Super Bowl. Now, the New England Patriots have been the team. That's because they had Tom Brady. Not because of Bill Belichick. It was because of Tom Brady. But the schedule is a factor. It is a harder schedule when you win and you're in first place. It's a harder schedule. And the Eagles do have a difficult schedule. The travel, and just by coincidence, they're playing those West Coast teams this year after last year. That was scheduled to happen before they won. And they play the first place team in the AFC West, which is Kansas City, which I actually think they're going to win that game. It's a Sunday night game. I think it's in early November. But you do think of it. And then they have Seattle the next week. So now they've got to either stay in they have Seattle after Dallas. Dallas on a Sunday night in Dallas. And then the next week, they play in Seattle. You can't tell me that's the players may not look at it, and they do look at the bye week, but it does factor into things. You can say what you want, but it does factor into things. All right, so let me give you the numbers. So we have a few. Oh, let me give you the question. The question today, based on the Sixers' wonderful draft, boy, they killed it. They killed it on Thursday night in the draft. Sixers killed it. Boy, they just got some good players. Oh, they didn't have any picks? Oh, okay. Question today, to try to win the $100 gift certificate from DeBruno Brothers, check it out all out at DeBruno.com. Got a July 4th coming up, so you want some good food for a get-together, a picnic, whatever it is. Whatever it is you're looking for good food, DeBruno Brothers has it. All right, so coming up after this ridiculous draft of no players for the Sixers, and people still, these nitwit morons, dopes, idiots that say the process would have worked and the process did work because they got one player, whoopee. The biggest missed processed opportunities, whether it's the biggest missed is the key word, process opportunities, whether it was the draft, whether it was trades, whether they missed in the draft with picks. There's a lot there. You got to think about this a little bit, but there's a lot to choose from. All right, let me give you the numbers. 215-592-9494. I don't need to give you the numbers, 15 times in the segment. You know the number, and now I gave you the number just in case. All right, before we take care of business here, let's go to the phones. Rob, you're on WIP.
Howard, I think the only Phillies who deserve to be All-Stars are Castellanos and Kimbrel. Harper probably makes it because he gets paid so much. But
no, I mean, Harper's not going to make the All-Star team. I mean, let's be real. And Castellanos, I really think does. They got to take a. They don't have to take a player, but they got to take a Philadelphia player. So I think Castellanos will make the All-Star team. I don't know about Kimbrel because there's a lot of good pitchers out there. That's the problem. And starters become relievers. So there's a lot of really good pitchers out there. And when you have good pitchers from other teams that may not have a player, because Castellanos is the guy. I know Kimbrel has pitched well. I'm not a Kimbrel guy. This is something about him. I'm just not a Kimbrel guy. But Castellanos for sure should make the All-Star team. But that... what does that mean? They still need other players to be able to hit. I don't get it. And you can't just, I mean, Rhys Hoskins is a big loss. But you can't complain about injuries because everybody has injuries. Everybody has injuries. So, yeah, I'm not worried about the All-Star. Goldschmidt? You worried about the All-Star team?
Not really. Do you think Goldschmidt is a possibility?
Well, he's a possibility, but I wouldn't do it. You'd have to give up too many good young players for a guy that's 36, and he's having a good year. Nothing special for Goldschmidt. He's only
great
got like 13. What's that?
He's great defensively.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about that. They need offense. Hey, their defense is going to be bad. You improve it, but Cody Clemens hasn't done a bad job, and Bohm hasn't done a bad job at first base. So I don't think that's as much of an issue as it is at other positions in the field. But he's only got 13 home runs. And the last time I checked, he's only hitting about 280-something, mm-hmm. which is better than a lot of guys here. But the reality is it's got to get better.
What do you think of the?
But I don't think Goldschmidt would be a guy that.
Okay. What do you think of the extreme celebrating on the base pass?
By the other team?
Yeah.
I know Larry Anderson gets a little. I love Larry. He gets a little carried away. Hey, listen. If you're the opposing team, you don't like all that. But then don't give up a home run.
Well, you can hit him.
Well, yeah, but you can't do that anymore. It doesn't serve. All it does is start something. It's not the other hitter. You're hitting somebody, but it's not their fault that you gave up the home run. So I don't care about that. Hey, listen, you don't like it. I don't care about it. There's a lot of things that you see on the field that you don't like. But it is what it is. Just don't give up home runs. And that's the way they play, so that's the way they play. No, I'm not that upset.
Are we going to see Painter?
Honestly, I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is because he's their number one starter sometime in the next 10 years. Do you want to screw it up? You got to be careful. He's only, I don't know when he turns 20. I don't know if he's turned 20 yet. If you see him, you're lucky if you see him in September. But I would be really, really, really careful. And I think the Phillies understand that. And I think they will be really, really careful. So if I had to put my finger on it now, I would say no. All right. You were on hold, but do you have an attempt at the question?
I think that I would trade Maxey.
Well, yeah, that wasn't the question, but I would trade Maxey too. All right. Hey, I appreciate the call.
Thanks, Howard.
I'm Howard Eskin here on a Saturday morning. I don't want Goldschmidt. I mean, I'd like to have him if you get him for nothing, but you're not going to get him for nothing. That's the problem. You're going to have to give up. They got to stop giving up all these young players. There's not enough of them to give up. You got to keep them for the future. Is Aaron Nolan going to be back? So you're going to need, if he's not, not at the money he's asking. So are you going to need another pitcher to put in the rotation to keep your payroll at least somewhere in this stratosphere? So you got to think about those things too. All right, I'm Howard Eskin here on a Saturday morning. Time now, and we'll get back and we'll talk more about obviously the Eagles and the Sixers as well as the Phillies. The time now is 8:21.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
'94, WIP on a Saturday morning. All right, let's go back to the phones and let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on WIP.
Hi. Yeah. Well, my view is that first of all, the reason why the Phillies are having trouble hitting, like Keith Hernandez said one time about a year ago. The Phillies are an easy team to beat. You break and ball them, that's it. You'll beat them every single time. Okay? Now, the other point why these other teams are doing so good, like Cincinnati, Baltimore, with their young talent, because they have people that know how to evaluate talent. I watch the minor league games. The only stud we have down there is Painter. Now, well, I'm sorry, this Rojas kid. Other than that, we don't have anybody that you can say that kid's going to be a star. This kid's going to be like a De La Cruz up in our.
Well, they talk about the pitchers they have, but not all the pitchers. Pitchers, sometimes they overvalue, a lot of times they overvalue how good the pitchers are when you hear it from the teams themselves.
No, I'm talking about position players, too. We don't have any down there that you could say it's going to be a
They have superstar. Some. I was told they have some in the lower minors, but that means they're maybe a couple of years away.
Well, yeah, but even in the lower minors, I watched that. There's nobody that you say he's going to be a true stud. You watch this draft when they come. You know the guys that evaluate each pick and they say, this guy is going to be a stud. This guy is a... Every single position player or something they'll say about the Phillies, he's undersized, he strikes out a lot, or this pitcher has control problems every single time. Until we get people that can at least make good choices in the draft, then we'll have a good team.
The Phillies do. Their farm system people from the past or whoever was making the decisions weren't doing a good job, and they've changed a couple of times since Dombrowski's gotten here. So I believe they're better. I believe they're better at what they do. But I think more so, and the Phillies got to clean that up, from what I can see, is the coaching at lower levels in some cases is not very good.
Yes. Yeah, it's not. And that's another problem. Now, what do you do to comment that Keith Hernandez says? People keep denying that or shoving that aside. The forkball last night, they couldn't hit that. And when a new pitcher comes in, they never seen, they struggle. So until they can clean that up, and they need that in batting practice, they say, we're going to throw you hundreds of forkballs. We're going to throw you sinkers and sliders. Learn to hit that. And Phillies are a fastball hitting team. The announcers tell you that during the game. That's the thing. They can't hit a breaking ball, okay? So until they do that, then they might be better. That's obvious. So.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. You have a great day. Yeah, I mean, it's just what they have to do now is do it at the major league level. I mean, that's what it comes down to. They have to do it at the major league level. And talking about minor league guys, we can talk about them all day long. Let's go to Bill. Bill, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard.
Hey.
Something I thought I heard you say earlier, and I'm not sure if that's true. You said that not every team has to have a representative in the All-Star game. I thought that was a rule where they did.
Yeah, but there's too many teams now. That's the problem. I think that changed a few years ago. They'd like to have it, but it's not always the case. From what I remember in the last couple of years, I think they have 32 players on the team. And, you know, some teams... Well, in the past, some teams have had a lot of guys voted in from the same team, so that's part of it. But I'm not worried about the All-Star game. I mean, there's so many other issues with the Phillies. You're worried about the All-Star game?
No, it's just. Well,
I mean, Castellanos is going to make the All-Star team. Castellanos is going to make the All-Star team. So you know, the Phillies are going to have a representative. He's going to make the All-Star team.
Okay. Yeah, well,
so I'm not worried about the All-Star game. The All-Star game is irrelevant to me. Irrelevant. That's not going to change the fact that the Phillies are inconsistent offensively. That's not going to change that. It's not going to change anything about whether they get to the playoffs or don't get to the playoffs. You know, and I don't even watch the All-Star game anymore because it's so boring. And none of them are any good anymore. That's the issue. Baseball was probably the last one that was good. And now they all suck. And football doesn't even have one. I don't even know what they're playing. Flag football now. I don't even know what the hell they're doing. It's just, they're all such a joke. It's made for TV event.
The honorary position.
Yeah, but that's okay. You know what? And players might get a bonus because they made the All-Star team. I don't care about that. I mean, you got to care about whether they win or they lose, not whether they make the All-Star team.
It's kind of like it'd be getting the MVP. Who cares?
When you get knocked out in the second round, what difference does it make? That's for him. It's not about individual awards. It's about team awards. and team mm-hmm. accomplishments. That's what it is. Let's be honest.
I guess so.
Do you have an opinion on what the biggest missed process opportunities were for our question for the DeBruno Brothers gift certificate? Draft, trades, missed drafts, whatever?
When the 76ers back in the 80s, when they're a year after they won.
Yeah, but that wasn't part of the process. We're talking about the process up, all this nonsense when Scam Henke came here. From that point on. And that's what screwed him up. And so apparently you don't have one, but that's all right. I'm okay. It's okay. I'm not gonna be angry. If you have one, you have one. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning. As far as the Phillies, honestly, I don't know what to say. 2 weeks ago, you were saying they're beating bad teams. I would think it was Arizona. And
No. They had nine games.
Yeah.
Washington, Detroit, and that single A team, Oakland. There were nine games in the 13 wins.
What did they – didn't they have a series with Arizona four games?
Yeah, they had a series with Arizona and the Dodgers. Dodgers had two bullpen games, which I don't know what he was thinking, Dave Roberts. And then Arizona, they did beat Arizona. Arizona didn't play well, but they beat Arizona, who was a good team. Yeah, they did beat Arizona. But the Braves are better than – all of them. So they're not going to win the division. I think –
no.
People have to resign themselves to that fact. They just got to worry about making the playoffs.
My thinking is overhaul for the Phillies. I mean,
you can't have an overhaul. What are you going to overhaul?
Exactly. But they're not doing anything.
Yeah, but what are you going to overhaul?
Pitching. You know how I feel about that.
Well, you don't have to overhaul. If you consider Suarez, I mean, Wheeler's here for at least another year. I think he's got another year on his contract. I don't know about Nola, but next year Painter will be up, whether he comes up this year. And I would and that's the difference. It's just you gotta figure, but you know, it's not the pitching right now, which is crazy. It's not the pitching. It is not the pitching. So that's the reality. It is not the pitching. It's their offense. And they're not hitting home runs, and that's really basically the way they score. They don't hit with men in scoring position. I mean, Harper's numbers with men in scoring position aren't good. Realmuto's numbers with men in scoring position. And you go right down the list. I think Castellanos is probably the only good one, but he's the only one that's really hitting for an average. Schwarber, you know, doesn't have a good average hitting with men in scoring position.
And maybe a blessing Hoskins was able to sit this year out.
What do you mean a blessing? That's not a blessing. They miss him so. They miss him more than anybody.
No, I'm not saying, you know, what happened to him a blessing at all. I'm just saying what's going on with the team and where they're going to end up for the year. Now, he would have been a positive for them, but would they have went that much further with them?
They would be better than they are right now. There's absolutely no question they'd be better than they are right now. No question. None. You're missing 30 home runs, and let's say Cody Clemens says, three, home, whatever. So you're missing 25 home runs, a lot of doubles. He's just so important in that lineup, and fans buried him. I mean, I don't care about his defense. When you look at it, you don't care about his defense now because what they miss is the offense. They have other issues defensively. But, you know, I wouldn't worry about first base. They miss Hoskins more than anybody. And it's too bad. He's not going to be back this year, and you just got to suck it up, and you got to overcome things like that. Everybody has injuries.
As for the Sixers, I don't think they've since 83, they have not had a team that many years that was in it, you know, consistently. And I'm not talking about getting to the second round. Even if they only got to the second round back then, they were competitive. And there was.
I mean, do you have any faith in this team?
No, I do not. And I don't even follow the Sixers that close. But I've watched and heard over the last 5 years pretty much what's going on. But as for the Sixers, your question, I say picks, who they're picking to sign a contract. But the example is Butler. He would have been a good one to keep. He did well afterwards.
Well, they screwed up by keeping Ben Simmons and trading Butler. That was the problem.
Yeah.
All right. I'll put you down there, Steve. That was a screw up. I mean, they've screwed up so many things. What an organization. And they're worried about building an arena, which is a complete joke. How about the bus? They moved the bus station like in the middle of the night. They didn't even tell anybody they were moving the bus station so they could clear them out for that proposed arena. This city is a joke. All this stuff is. But they should worry about the team. The hell with the damn arena. Just worry about the team. All right. Thanks for the call. 215-592-9494. The Eagles, I got to straighten you out on the Eagles. I got to give you some numbers. People worried about Jalen Hurts running the ball too much. It's nonsense. The facts, nobody lets the facts get in the way of what the reality is. And I'm going to break that down when we come back. Time now is 8:39.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It is WIP. It is Saturday morning. The Phillies come off a win. Kind of gift. It's not like they crushed the ball. But they still won. Getting the Mets. The Mets are just not a good team right now. They are just not a good team. So they get a break. They get them now before the Phillies go on the road. But nonetheless, there's other teams they have to worry about that are good in the National League. Cincinnati's going to probably win that division the way they look right now. And again, it's only halfway through the season, but to win their 12th in a row, coming back from 5-0 last night was amazing. Miami, you still got to worry about Miami a little bit. They are better than they have been in the past. San Francisco, they had one bad year after a good year, and they're a good team again. Arizona's playing a lot better. L.A. is not as good, but they're still very good. There's some really interesting teams in the National League. The American League, good young teams there too. It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy that teams can improve themselves like that. And the Phillies just go out and buy players, which I have no problem with trying to do it. Obviously, I should have no problem with them trying to do it, but I don't know if that's the way it works. All right, the Eagles. I want to set people straight here on all this, and it's nonsense. Total, total, total nonsense. Oh, Jalen Hurts runs too much. He's got to run less. And even the godfather of football, Ray Dittinger, chimed in on that, which is incorrect. When you break down the numbers, it's incorrect. He doesn't run. In reality, he doesn't run any more than a quarterback, other quarterbacks that are good with their legs. And you got to be good with your arm, too, which I don't think Lamar Jackson is for the Ravens. He can only do one thing well, I think. I don't think he's a very good passer. But here, let me give you the breakdown. Regular season in last year, Jalen Hurts had 165 runs, right? They're not called runs. Here is 35 sneaks. Do you count that as a run? I don't. 20 kneel downs. I don't count that either. 45 scrambles. Every quarterback, when they're in trouble, scrambles. Now, if you don't have the legs to do it, you're not going to be as good at it. But that means that wasn't a run play. That was he scrambling out of pressure, which is a good thing. So out of the 165 runs that people say, oh, you had run 165 times. No. 100 of them, that's 100, were not runs. The Eagles don't call that many RPOs, those run-pass options. They don't call that many of them during the game. They average 4.5 a game. I mean, this is such a fallacy, such a misconception. It's so ridiculous for people to harp on this. And he's been better when he scrambles to get out and get down. And when he got hurt in Chicago, that player dead-weighted him. And that was a cheap shot, which is not called because he's past the line of scrimmage. But he just, if he was behind the line of scrimmage, that would have been a penalty, which wouldn't have done him any good. But I could see what happened. That was just a cheap shot. You know, he was down, and the guy just put all his weight on him. You know, half the quarterbacks in the NFL get hurt. I mean, people got to stop with this nonsense and this fear and this, oh, my God, the world's coming to an end. It's just like, it's ridiculous anymore. It's beyond ridiculous because it's incorrect. It's incorrect, and the Eagles are not changing what they do. All right, let's go to Tom. Tom, you're on WIP.
Yo, Howard, how the hell are you? It's great to speak with you, my friend.
Thank you. Calling from Alabama.
That's it, man. You know, that's interesting. I heard your take the other day about Hurts. How many actually were designed for him to run, do you know?
Well, only 65 of them.
Right.
65 out of the 165. Only 65.
Which breaks down from 17 divided into 65. So he's at 4 a game, basically.
And they average called RPOs are 4.5 a game.
He definitely made a difference with the mental clock, I guess you'd say, because he did get down a lot sooner.
He's getting better at doing that. But when you scramble, that's not a run. It's counted as a run in the statistics, but that's not a run. It's getting out of pressure. Would you rather have him get sacked? I mean, it's ridiculous. These people are just speaking out of their rear ends. It's just once in a while, you might want to check the facts, which is what I did after last season. People started to whine about it then. And half the quarterbacks in the NFL get hurt. It's the position. There's nothing you can do about it.
That's exactly
that's the position.
Right. That's when you're worried about resting players in week 17 or 18. You've got to forget about all that, man. You just got to play the game and not be worried
If the game doesn't mean anything, I understand why they rest players. And in the preseason this year, they have two joint practices. I don't think that the first one is a joint practice with Baltimore. They have two joint practices. That's where they're going to play the starters most of the time because you're not going to get hit. You're not going to see the starters in the actual games much at all. So they protect them going into the season. He knows what to do. Jalen Hurts knows what to do. And it's 65 of the 165 were actual runs. I mean, people got to get over this. They got to get over this.
You know, we're not going to have a chance in hell if he don't play like he knows how to play, which exactly was last year. I mean,
he's got to be a good quarterback. That's what he's got to be.
The quarterback position is what it is today. Yep. It's different than it was 30, 35, 40 years ago.
Well, because you have guys that have the mobility. Would you rather have a stationary quarterback or a quarterback that's mobile? I mean,
it's a tough schedule, but we're inside 80 days, Howard. I'm ready for it. You know, real quick about the Phillies, if you don't mind. You know, you take a guy like Schwarber, who's not leading off. He's not even batting half his weight after you go out and spend over $300 million. I guess they gave the guy, he was under the impression he was going to lead off. The difference between the Phillies and the Braves is not only 10 games. If you look at the Braves lineup all the way through it, at the right side of the infield, it's all homegrown developed. It's amazing that we even have Baum or Stott between that dope McPhail and that other jerk Klintak. They burned the farm system, and that's what's hurting us right now. Because the fact of what they did, we're still redeveloping.
Yeah, the good teams, when they have injuries, can just seem to be able to bring up players. The Phillies don't seem to be in that position. And it's kind of sad when you look at it, because you're going to need, everybody needs help from their farm system. And it's just, it's not all about making trades. It's not all about free agents. It's about, you got to develop players. And the Phillies don't have that many that they've developed. They're better at it now, but that still takes time in baseball. So do you have an answer to the question? The worst process move, whether it's a draft, a trade, whatever, the Sixers?
Tanking for as long as they did for the process.
Well, yeah, that's an obvious one.
No. I was going to say that all that time, and then they draft Ben Simmons. What Ben Simmons, what he did, it'll reverberate in the organization for the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, I think there's one that's worse than that. I think there's one that's worse than that. But because people still, these Kool-Aid drinking morons, still think this is all part of the process. All right. Hey, Tom, thanks for the call, man. I'll put you in it. Let's go to Chuck. Chuck, you know what? Put Chuck on hold, because Chuck's going to take too long. I'm going to go to Ben. I'm going to go to Bill. Chuck is going to come on after the break. You got to wait, because I'm a little tight right now. Let's go to Bill. Bill, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm living the life, Howard.
Yeah.
Hey, Howard, I just want to correct that one older gentleman before. He was a little bit mistaken. Our minor league system isn't stellar, but it's gotten better. We do have three prospects in the top 100. We've got Painter, Abel, and Crawford.
Yeah, where are they ranked in the top 100? Because I remember the pitcher.
Painter's,
who was the
nine,
pitcher?
Painter's what? 9, Abel's 33, and Crawford's somewhere in the low 90s, I think.
Yeah, I don't care about the 90s. But when you're in the top, like when the Phillies, when that Andy McPhailure rolled out, well, the Phillies have three players in the top 100. Yeah, and two of them were in the 80s, and one of them they traded. Who was the pitcher they traded? Spencer Howard, was that his name?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
What a joke that was. And it just, and the Braves had five in the top 64. I mean, it's ridiculous.
The Braves are amazing. They just keep rolling them out.
Well, there are other teams that really, I mean, Tampa's the one that's really amazing. They lose all their high-priced players, and they seem to always have new ones. It's amazing. It really
is. It would be nice if we could pull a Ellie De La Cruz like the Reds.
Well, how about Miami with a rise? I think he's back hitting the 400. I think he had three or four hits last night again.
It's unreal. Other teams find a way to do it, yet somehow with all our money and resources,
you know,
we can't.
That was a trade, but that was a trade for a young player.
Yeah.
Well,
we trade for young players, but they're the wrong young players.
I guess.
Howard, I am curious about one thing, given some of the stuff you've said. And a lot of what you said makes sense. If you're the Phillies with the trade deadline approaching, would you just stand pat given what you're saying, or would you try to
make
a move?
You know what? I don't know now, because the pitching is okay if you don't have to give up much. If you get a starter, I mean, Kobe, I mean, it's ridiculous. They got him off the waiver wire. He's not going to be your fifth starter. I wouldn't be, if you give up basically nothing for a fifth, it's basically a fifth starter now. I might think about that. But with Goldschmidt, yeah, he would be nice in the lineup, although he's not hitting the same he used to hit. He's 36 years old. I understand he's got a contract for next year. And you'd have to give up too many young players. I mean, St. Louis is not going to trade him for nothing. They're not going to trade him for nothing.
Howard, I agree with you on that. I do think it would be good to get a fifth starter, because we keep throwing these bullpen games, and I think we're something like 2-11 in these.
Now,
bullpen,
you know, that's nonsense. That's another bad stat, because Fulder, they counted Fulder's starts as bullpen games. He had 8 starts, 6 of them were starts. In 4 or 5 of them, the Phillies only scored 3 runs a game, an average. He didn't pitch bad in like 4 or 5 of them. I think at least 4 of them. And his ERA was a little over 3 in those, and then he imploded. But people count all those as bullpen games. They're not bullpen games. He was the actual starter, and they wanted him to be the starter. That wasn't the plan, that was a bullpen game.
Yeah,
so
great,
that
great
number
point.
Is yeah. That number's a bunch of BS. You
yeah,
know, like people
point,
just
Howard.
Roll out things. They just roll out things. I mean, it's a joke.
I agree. I agree with you.
So.
Yeah, Howard, I think one of the stupidest process moves that the Sixers made was on, and especially given that draft night just happened, draft night 5 years ago. We had Mikal Bridges in hand with the 10th pick, and the bright bulb decides, let's swap him with for somebody who we think has upside, who's not even in the league anymore.
Yeah, who did they trade him for?
Zaire Smith.
Oh, Zaire Smith, that's right. Yeah, that was a good. That's a good one. That was Brett Brown actually that did that.
Yeah. He's got upside. Hey, we like the upside.
Thanks for the call. You're in the mix there. All right, Bill. Thanks for the call. 215-592-9494. You know, there's so many fallacies of bad facts that people roll out. It's terrible that I got to correct all these people with all this nonsense. But I'm just trying to keep it real, for real, for real. We'll be back. Phillies, it's mind-boggling that they struggle the way they do offensively. Sixers Thursday night was a disgrace. And they signed a couple undrafted free agents. Whoopee. All right, we'll get back. We'll talk about it. The time now is 8:57. WIP as we head into hour number two. Phillies with a win last night. It was important to get a win, thanks to the Mets. Boy, they were brutal last night, the way they played. One error, one ball that drops in the middle of three people, which was an error by somebody, but it's not counted as an error. Even though the official scores give everybody hits, you got to give that one a hit. They give everybody hits now, the official scores. It's a joke. They gave Schwarber's ball to left field against the Braves. They originally called that a hit, and I don't know how. I don't know. The official scorer must have been wearing blindfold. It's ridiculous anymore. But nonetheless, the Mets just played so bad. I mean, the Mets are not a good team right now. So the Phillies get them at the right time. But they got a good pitcher going against them today, so we'll see how. And the Mets are actually favored in this game. But whatever. It's just the Mets are not a good team. They're not the team you got to worry about in the National League to make the playoffs. That is not the team. So there's some other teams out there. And then Sixers, an embarrassing week for them. Embarrassing. Tobias Harris still part of the team, which is amazing because that fraud of a president general manager, Daryl Morey, overvalues all his players. What does he think he's going to get for him? Somebody's got to take on that contract. I wouldn't be opposed to trading Maxey, but because there's no other, there's no other moves they can make. So we talked about that. And then the Eagles narrative that they threw out there this week on WIP that Jalen Hurts runs too much, which now I give you the numbers, which shows you that is not the case. The Sixers are doing so much. They're putting more effort into trying to con people and the city into building a new arena, 10th and Market, the proposed new arena. They got somebody to move that bus station in the dark of the night. All of a sudden, a week late, it was announced the Greyhound station at 10th and Filbert, because they're going to close down that. The building's just going to take over everything. So they want to close down that street. So in the dark of night, basically, all of a sudden the bus station moves, and you didn't even hear about it. All of a sudden it's moving to 618 Market Street. Like, what? What the hell happened? But it's just such a... And then I posted a tweet the other day about Josh Harris, who really doesn't have the passion for the Sixers to win. He's got the passion to buy more teams and more sports things. He's involved in NASCAR. He's trying to buy another soccer team, this one in the French League. The Redskins thing will probably be done in a month. It's unbelievable. So he doesn't have the passion, but the Sixers are under this wild notion, according to it wasn't their research. They commissioned a report, and it said 40% of the people are going to take public transportation. Not in our lifetime, they're not. Not in our lifetime. But they're more worried about that than they are making this team a championship team. They really are. And I'm not saying that just to say it. They really are more worried about that. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Computer Chuck. Chuck, what's happening?
Hey, what's cooking, Bubba? How you doing? A question for you. Happy Saturday. Do you know the name, and don't mention it, but do you know the name of the official scorer that ruled that ball a hit at first? They did change it to an error. Do you know who the official scorer is?
I could have found out. I mean, I see where they sit, and the official score is listed in the press box on a board there with the lineup every game. So it would be easy enough to find out, but I don't know. I don't know who it is, and I wouldn't
mention
his name.
What about that play you could ever rule a hit originally? I mean, there's
somebody told me that Major League Baseball has told, kind of in a soft way, told, you know, error. Error, interesting word. Error on the side of the hit rather
more
than
offense.
The error.
Yep. Yeah. They're desperate for areas to inflate offense.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment.
Let's see. If I frame those two words exactly right, I don't think you've ever said that to me. Okay, let's move on. I want to give you five quick things. They don't take long. And I want you to give me order priority. Here, let's unravel the mystery about the Phillies. Defensive ineptitude. How about this? Left fielder and center fielder combined don't have an assist yet this year. No other team in baseball in a similar situation. Think about that. Two outfield positions without an assist. That's
okay, that could be a product of circumstance, but that's all right. Yeah.
Okay, how about this? Below league average running score percentage. That's a beat-up fact, because everybody knows that, 26 in baseball. But let's support that fact with some data you're going to love. How about against the Braves and Oakland, put my page here, 7 for 40 runners in scoring position, 7 for 40.
So that was before this series. That was the last five games.
That was Atlanta, and that was Oakland. Now, Oakland doesn't the kids from Bishop Eustis right now are better than Oakland's pitching, but we didn't hit Oakland's pitching. We didn't hit Detroit's pitching. So you talk about illuminating the problem.
They scored six runs against in the last two games against Oakland, and one of them was three runs in a 12-inning game. I mean, it's
ridiculous.
Now,
the other thing is, how do you measure your team against 500? Okay, we're 55-75 last year and so far this year against the teams that are 500 better. Now, if you want to benchmark that against other teams, you don't have to take the elite teams. You don't have to take Texas and Tampa. Just look at the teams, you know, that play around 500 baseball. They're also playing 500 baseball against the better teams. We're 20 games under 500. That's a litmus test of sorts that we don't match up against 500 teams. That's a real problem. Now, how about this? Not one international player starts as a position player. You were talking about this kid for Cincer, Natty
De La Cruz.
Cruz.
Yeah.
All right, at Dominican Republic. Take any team, Howard, Atlanta, Acuna, and Albies. You could name the team, and I'll give you the international player star. We don't have any. So for a decade, we missed out on signing the talent, the international talent, for a decade or more. And then, of course, our draft. You know, when we took Stott, and I liked him, but we
missed. That's a nice player. Such a nice player.
Yeah, but we took him two picks ahead of Corbin Carroll, the guy for Arizona. So, now, you're not going to get it all right. That's just an example where our draft, you've said it before, how bad's the draft been? So when you put all that together, that's the composition of the team. And the guy in left field, Howard, cost you 8 games so far. The love affair with Schwarber is really hurting this team.
Well, they didn't. You know what? In reality, they didn't sign him as a left fielder. That's the sad part. They signed him as a DH. This DH is, you know, it skews your thinking on the way to put together a team. You know, it's just, I don't like the DH. I don't like it, and I'll continue to say I don't like it because now, because of the situation, and it's too bad that Harper's going to get is hurt or had an injury. I don't know that he's going to play first base. I mean, everybody thinks, oh, when he starts playing first base, I don't know that he's going to play first base. If he's ready to play, he should play right field. I mean, when he's ready to play, and I don't know when that's going to happen, and I don't think it's anytime soon. That he's going to be able to play in the field.
And there's no doubt that's hurt him power-wise. But when you look at the other players to pick up the power, you know, you got Baum right now at 709
OPS. That's not going to work. Stock 750, your early round draft picks aren't producing the OPS you need. Someone's got to give it to you, you know, and it's just not there. So that's a collective problem too. So when you look at the whole situation, that's the problems you've got.
Yeah,
right?
their offense is so inconsistent. It's brutal. Last night, I mean, if the Mets weren't, they got two unearned runs in the first, and then they scored runs after it wasn't an error, but the guys watched a pop up just fall between three of them, and they got runs there too. Not that the Mets scored anything, but it made it a lot easier. They got
the kid, the Miners, this Simon, look him up. This Simon, I'll really botch his name. Muzzetti, M-U-Z-Z-O-T-T-I. This guy's batting 356, 900 OPS with speed in AAA, and he's 24. Now, he's not going to stay down there and become 28. So if you can't bring that kid up, he'd have to play left field. Schwarber blocks him. That's another problem. You got a kid
They have positions that block other players, too. They have a shortstop in A-ball, I was told. It's apparently really good. But he's not coming up anywhere but because you have a young player at second and you've got Trey Turner at short, where's he going to play?
And it looks like you're now catching maybe. I know this is premature. I take a lot of criticism for this. But you may be catching Turner now 30 on the downside. Last year, he drops 100 points in OPS for the Dodgers. Now you bring him in. But he gave you 100 less OPS for a reason last year. And the Dodgers look at that and say, we'll pass. So we say, oh, we'll give him an 11-year contract. Man, if Turner right, is on the beginning of the downside at 30.
Well, he better not be. He better not be, or they're in deep trouble.
You got that right, buddy.
Yeah, all right. Hey, Chuck, thanks. You actually had some good information there, Chuck.
That's shocking. You're the best. Bye-bye.
I'll see you later. All right, let's go to, who is that, Drew. Drew, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. Hey, Howard, good morning. Howard, with the Phils, I lean on the side of I'd always rather add pitching. You know, I know the hitting is weak right now, but that as you know is volatile, and they'll get hot at some point or better than they are now.
You know what? You keep on saying that, and we're almost halfway into the season.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think with I'm banking on that. If they're not going to hit better than this, they're not going to make the postseason, obviously. No. And whether they add Goldschmidt or not, but like you said, they would have to give up too much, and I'd rather add a good starter if they have the opportunity. So,
yep, I agree with you. I agree.
So, and with the Sixers, just real quick, I'll just get right into your question. I mean, there's been a lot of good answers already.
Well, before we get into the question, wasn't that a draft exciting for you for the Sixers on Thursday night?
I didn't even pay attention to it. I mean, there was no point.
The ratings were awful.
I knew
the
draft nothing good was going to – yeah.
But
I
for mean, the was, Sixers, was, they were like invisible. They were invisible because they had no picks. And they didn't even trade Tobias Harris. Oh, my gosh. Just take a ham sandwich for him. I mean, just you got to move away. You got to get rid of him. whatever.
And, it was almost like frustrating to see the on the internet, there's all sorts of rumors and crap about Tobias Harris and interest from other teams.
It's all
a bunch of BS. But
it's BS that the Sixers put out. I mean, come on now. It's just, what do they think other teams are that stupid? I guess they do.
Yeah, well, they hope. But
they hope there's some dummy out there. But apparently there wasn't on draft night.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's got to be somebody as dumb as Daryl Morey somewhere that he can make a deal with, hopefully.
You know what? I'm trying to find that person. It's hard to find him right now. it's hard to find him.
Yeah, but Howard, with the process, there's been the good answers, but I feel like because of the number of variables involved, when they got rid of Ben Simmons, and instead of upgrading to younger talent, going the opposite, you take James Harden, you give away a bunch of first round picks, you totally set the team back, for a decade by doing the trade that they did. And, so I just think that as far as impact goes, yeah, not keeping Jimmy Butler, big impact. Not keeping Mikal Bridges, big impact. But because of the multiple players involved in the Ben Simmons trade, that to me is the biggest impact.
That's a really good one, because they could have gotten Tyrese Halliburton and Buddy Hield and that idiot who's running the franchise. It's not a personal thing. I'm calling him an idiot. His basketball IQ is pathetic, because it's all about computers, and he's got a bad feel for doing things and making trades. That was a horrible trade. That was a horrible trade. So, Drew, you're in the mix there. All right. That's our question to win the $100 De Bruyne Brothers gift certificate. Lots of good stuff at De Bruyne Brothers. Good for any time, especially with July 4th coming up. The question is the biggest missed process opportunities, whether it's a draft, trades, whatever. And there's really a lot to choose from. So we got some good ones in there. All right, let's go to John. John, you're on WIP.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Good, good,
hey,
good,
good. Hey, I've been listening to you since I was like 10 years old, and I'm 70.
Well, it's been a long time. You couldn't have listened to me that long. I wasn't over here that long. But go ahead.
I was going to ask you about, you're the very first person that I said about the dead weight on Hurt. I mean, I had never heard anybody mention
that. Actually, that was one of my reports during the game, because, as it turns out, it was the side of the field that the Eagles were on, and I was right kind of at that yard line, and I saw it, and, you know, I said, talking to myself, I says, he just dead weighted him. So then we did a report on the broadcast, as I do from the sideline, and I said, that was a cheap shot. If it was behind the line of scrimmage, it would have been a penalty. But because it wasn't, it's considered a runner. But still, to dead weight a guy, because if you do that to a quarterback, it's a penalty. But it wouldn't have made any difference. The guy just plopped his weight on him.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And I heard nobody mention that since that game.
Well, I've mentioned it, because I happen to stand right there and see it.
Right. Yeah. But you're the only one then, because that was not right. If that was Brady, what would have happened?
Well, but once you're past the line of scrimmage, and I talked to John Runyon yesterday, and he explained it to me. He says, you're a runner once you're past the line of scrimmage, so it's not a penalty. It really was a cheap shot, but it wasn't a penalty because he was beyond the line of scrimmage.
Hey, you know what? You ought to start calling Chuck EV Chuck.
Call
you know
him
what that's
what?
For? Exit velocity Chuck.
I haven't heard him talk about exit velocity. I don't want to hear that. Yeah, I don't want to hear exit velocity. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear any of that stuff. I don't want to hear launch angle, exit velocity. I don't want to hear any of that stuff. It's useless, useless, useless information for the fan. Useless. And we hear it on broadcasts all the time. It's enough of it already. Enough.
Here's my guess.
Go ahead.
Stiff Okafor.
That was a good one, and that was an early one. But Okafor was it? They made so many bad picks, and Scam Henke was the master at making bad picks. All right, John, you're in the mix. All right, let's take a little time out, and we'll get back to the phones. The question to win the $100 gift certificate. The biggest missed process opportunity, whether it's the draft, trades, they made so many of them. What a bozo. You know, they've made so many mistakes as an organization. It's just pathetic. It really is pathetic. It's kind of sad, actually. It's pathetic and sad at the same time. Great draft by the Sixers on Thursday night. I'm sure you were excited about that. 215-592-9494. That was an interesting stat that Chuck gave, you know, a real stat, that against 500 or better teams, the Phillies do not have a good record. That's not a good sign. Now, they can get better, and they're going to have to get better, obviously. All right, you got the numbers. You got WIP here till 10 o'clock, and you got the question. Time now is 9:22. 94 WIP. Howard Eskin here on a Saturday morning. All right, let's go back to the phones. There's so many things to talk about here. Let's go to Scott. Scott, you're on WIP.
Morning, Howard. How are you?
Another day in paradise, Scott.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you this morning.
Thanks.
So this Mets team right now is certainly playing like they're trying to get their manager fired. If we do sweep them, I think there's actually a chance that might happen. Very uninspired Mets team right now.
I'm not a Buck Showalter fan and never have been, but I don't care whether they fire the manager. That's, you know, it's not Philadelphia, it's the Mets. But I don't.
Well,
if the Phillies
the only
win today,
why I bring it up is because we hate the Mets.
If the Phillies win today, they will sweep. If they win today, they will sweep. It's not an easy game today.
No, it's not, and they're not favored to win. But something to keep your eye on is how long Buck last this, because I think
they don't make the playoffs, he's going to get fired anyway. So
yeah, I think he's gone before then. But anyway, I've talked to you before about kind of my take on the Phillies. They did prove me wrong by getting to the World Series last year, but they're a very flawed team with a bunch of DHs, and defense unfortunately hasn't been a priority. I don't, you know, personally see them. I do think we'll make the playoffs. I do not think, obviously, we're going to advance like we did last year. I think now, when I look at the Phillies, they're going to have some tough decisions to make, being where Harper is and being where the veterans are. Dombrowski's going to have to choose whether he's all in, whether he's half in, or whether he's going to look to the future. Now, we know he's not going to built for the future. We know that that's not going to happen.
Well, that's not his MO.
Right. His MO is to go in, all in. And so
yeah, but I don't think that's good for this team. I don't think that's good for this team, giving up young players.
Yeah. No, it's really not.
Go all in for what? What can you go in? What can you go all in for? What can you go all in for?
If he does go all in, you're likely going to see that Goldie deal, but along with it, with him, it will a pitcher from St. Louis. It'll be a bigger deal. It'll include a starting pitcher.
I mean, they just give up a bunch of young players?
I hate it. I wouldn't do it, but what I'm telling you is because the veterans are where they are and Dombrowski is who he is, I think the pressure's on for him to give up some of the young talent that we've been, you know, the Phillies did a good job of repairing the farm system, but they're still 5 years behind. They're trying to make up. They're trying to make up lost time.
Yeah,
and
here's another thing.
Job of that.
Here's another thing, and I don't know when. And I'm trying to keep an eye on it, but it's not. I don't know that it's next year around the corner. Baseball is going to expand now that they've gotten through the pandemic. And Dave Dombrowski was so entrenched in helping Nashville get a baseball team. And that's probably, that city is going to get a baseball team. Now, with all the work that Dave Dombrowski put in, is he going to go back? Because he obviously, his footprint is on a lot of the work that they put in to try to, before the pandemic came. So is he going to go back?
You bring up a great point. It's actually my next point. If I were Sam Fold, I would be very nervous right now, because if Dombrowski goes all in, he's really going to leave the cupboard bare, and Fold is going to end up being the fall guy as the temporary GM that's left with trying to put together something with a cupboard that's bare. So I would be really concerned if I was him. I don't see Dombrowski balancing the future with the present. I see him going more to the present. And unfortunately, it's going to be we're the ones that are going to pay for it, because in the long run, what you're doing is you're really just stunting the process. Eventually, somebody's going to have to come in and do this right. And it's going to be a little painful, but people want –
you know what?
Have a consistent winner like the Eagles – that you know you're going to be around for a while with a strong farm. That is going to take a few years to build.
I don't think the Phillies are going to the World Series this year. They make the playoffs to make
it.
They're not good enough to go to the World Series. But because when you came off a long season, and that's part of the issue, is they came off a long season, they were in the World Series. But I think in the next couple of years, if they don't give away all these young players, or a lot of them, I think they have a chance over the next 2 to 3 years. Now, things have to happen. Bryce Harper's going to hit better. I mean, I think it's the injury, his lack of power. Trey Turner is going to have to hit better, for sure. And Kyle Schwarber has to be the DH, and it's that simple. I think they can figure out a first baseman, and then they would have, because I think Bohm will go there. I don't know what they're going to do with Hoskins, because his agent kind of screws that up, too. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. Yeah.
I could see Hoskins coming back on a one-year prove-it deal, although Boris is not,
he's not the guy to do something. That. Yeah.
All right. Right. Okay. Go ahead, Howard. Sorry.
No, I was going to get to the question today. Do you have a guess on the
– I do. When I look back at the process, I mean, literally, there's got to be like 25 mistakes that you could point out. But the one I'm going to point out was a twofold mistake. And had they picked correctly, we might be competing for a title. So I'm going to go back to where the draft pick by our collar guy – our high collar guy, who took Fultz over Tatum with that pick, but it wasn't enough that they screwed the pick up. Okay, you got the pick wrong. That's bad enough. They picked the wrong guy.
Let me interject something here before you go too deep into this. The Boston Celtics were not going to make the trade if they knew the Sixers were going to take Tatum. So they would not have gotten Tatum. So, I mean, people just, you lock yourself in on, well, they could have had Tatum. No, they made a mistake giving up too much. But believe it or not, there's a guy named, I don't know his first name, Jaeger. He used to be with the Sixers. He was so goo-goo over Fultz, and a lot of people were. He convinced Colangelo that was the guy. So Brian Colangelo is here. He's got to take responsibility. But forget about the Tatum thing. The Tatum thing was never going to happen, because the Celtics were not going to make the trade if they knew the Sixers were going to take Tatum. It was not going to happen.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, I guess that takes mine out. But, I mean, for me, not taking Tatum, but then on top of it, trading extra picks. You traded an extra first round
Well, that
pick,
was the problem. That was the problem.
I mean, and they had a trade. That just killed you.
Yeah, and it's just, but everybody, somebody below Colangelo, this guy Jaeger, is now at Detroit, loved Fultz. All right, hey, I appreciate the call, Scott. Let's go to Dennis. Dennis, you're on WIP.
Humble Howard, how are we doing today, my man?
Good, how are you?
Good. Somebody called earlier, and I don't care about the All-Star team anymore. When you and I are growing up and we're the same age, the All-Star team in baseball was the best All-Star game of all. 60s and 70s.
Oh, that's what I said. Yeah, and by the way, I've been informed. I didn't think you had to take a player from each team. That used to be the rule, but apparently you do. But it doesn't make – I don't really care. Castellanos is making a team, and he should make the team.
Yeah.
But I don't care who makes the team from the Phillies. I don't care because I don't watch the game anyway. It's a useless game that's not even close to what it used to be.
Exactly. The whole team is bad with runners in scoring position. But Bryce Harper is batting like 165 with runners in scoring position under 200 with men on base. In other words, he doesn't drive men in and he doesn't advance runners. His almost 300 batting average is the most pathetic stat because he gets meaningless hits and he gets a lot of walks.
Last night he got a hit to drive in a run, but it was a little bloop hit. But it still got a hit. He still put his bat on the ball.
Yeah, but overall, since he's been back, his average is under 200 in both of those scenarios, and that's not any good. These singles and doubles that nobody wants.
No, he's not the only one, though. Realmuto's under 200 with men in scoring position.
Sure.
He's only hitting 255 anyway.
They either score 7 to 10 runs or they don't do anything.
No,
they're feast or famine.
They got a break last night, but that's all right. They won the game against a bad team, and you got to beat bad teams. And they beat the Mets, are a bad team right now.
And Nola had a good outing, but his ERA is still closer to 5 than it is to 4.
Yeah, but he did have a good game.
He did. He had 6 good innings, but 6.
Yeah, and the Phillies just can't. They just don't score. All right, who's your biggest mistake in the process?
Well, the process was supposed to be about getting better picks, right?
Well, that was supposed to be part of it, yeah.
Yeah. So when you pick a guy in the first round, he's supposed to be a star and maybe even an all-star. But when you miss on 3 number one picks, that's pathetic. Fultz wasn't a number one pick. Ben, and what was Okafor, first, one or two?
Yeah, right.
They missed all.
How about Dario Saric? I think he was 13. He was a stiff,
so,
too.
When you pick number one.
How about Michael Carter Williams?
Yeah. So their lack of production from number one picks has to be the worst all time. Two of the guys can't even shoot a basketball. Fultz and Ben Simmons can't even shoot the damn basketball.
Well, you know what? Fultz is actually playing decent. I'll say decent now in Orlando.
Well, is that what you want from your number one pick to be playing?
No, that was a mistake. It was a mistake.
So all 5 of them were mistakes. So their lack of picking top talent has got to be this failure.
The organization, you know, karma is, as they say, karma is a bitch. That's what they did a lot of karma going on with the Sixers. All right, hey, I appreciate the call. I'm Howard Eskin. We'll kind of get in the last segment, get some more guesses to try to win the $100 gift certificate to the Bruno Brothers. But there's still a lot more out there that I can think of. Process mistakes. Process opportunities that were mistakes. The whole thing was a mistake. Scam Hinkie was a mistake. The Ponzi scheme was a mistake. The ping pong ball, all of it. It was a joke, a disgrace, and karma is, as they say, a, you know what? 215-592-9494. We'll talk about it. We'll kind of wrap it up, get some more guesses. Great draft night by the Sixers. It was just one of the best in their history of the franchise. Of course, you know, it's only been 40 years since they won a championship, so that's not too bad, right? WIP Sports Time is now 9:40. WIP as we wrap it up on this Saturday morning. On the last segment, we'll get some, there's still some good ones out there. I can think of a couple. We have some good ones on the question for the $100 gift certificate for the Bruno Brothers. Check it all out at thebruno.com. There's still some good ones out there, but it's so easy with the Sixers. It's so easy. By the way, I'm told by my producer today, Ben Kenny, that the Mets fan is throwing out the first pitch again tonight. Did it last year in a Mets jersey. They're not going to let him wear the jersey, obviously. But when you buy a certain amount of tickets, I forgot about that. If you, for a group, you get to throw out the first pitch. You know, it's amazing. And it's just, I understand business is about making money. But everything's about making money. Like the Phillies are playing in London next year. Oh, that's great. People in London, okay, it gives them something else to watch. Go in the middle of a season, you're going on for 2 games. In the middle of a season. But why are they doing it? It's about money. It's get more international dollars. Everything in sports, and that's the way things are. And it's every sport. I mean, it's just, they're not alone. I mean, it's just the stadium series for hockey, that's about money. The NFL, when they play in Germany and London, that's about money. Everything is about money. The NBA, I think the NBA has some international games in the preseason. It's about money. This thought of a mid-season tournament, it's about money. It's not about the game anymore. It's not the game. We're not talking about a game. Talking about money, not talking about a game. All right. Well, it's sad more than anything else. All right. Speaking of sad, this moron, Cowboy Jim, what's up?
Good morning, King of I-95. Were you the first one over the bridge the other morning?
No, they had the fire truck who were there, the first responders who responded to the truck fire. The first responders driving their fire truck with the mascots from the city were the first ones over. It's an overpass. It's not a bridge, but whatever. Give Josh Shapiro a lot of credit, because Jim Kenney's standing there like a stooge, you know, playing with his pocket and his tie and making sure nobody cares about you. If the city had been the front on this, the one leading the way to get this thing done, it would have been 6 months before you could even walk across it. It's so great that Josh Shapiro, the state of Pennsylvania, the governor of Pennsylvania, for people that don't know, and the federal government took control of this, and that's why it was done so quickly. And they still have to put the permanent bridge there, but at least you have traffic coming through there now. So I was not the first one. Did Jim drop? Good. It saves me that... It saves me hanging up on him. I don't know what his thought was today. Apparently, he was going to say something about Taylor Swift. And you can't rip Taylor Swift the other day, going to her recording studio in New York City, wearing an Eagle sweatshirt. That was big. It was big. If you missed the pictures, they're all over the internet, but I posted them on Twitter. She knew. She's a smart girl, and she's the best entertainer in the world. Best, without question. All right, let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on WIP.
Howard, good morning.
Morning, Mark.
Howard?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you could hear me.
Yeah, I hear you.
When are we going to start holding the Phillies hitting coach responsible for their inconsistencies? How
everybody says how good he is. I mean, everybody's telling you how good he is. I don't know. What? You can't always blame the coaches. The players has to translate. The player has to do,
Howard,
that have to do it.
Seriously, Howard, these guys have zero plate discipline. Their approach at the plate, it's laughable. Turner, I'm shocked.
He's a better hitter than that. I just don't understand that. He's not a power hitter, but he's a good hitter, and he's an average defensive player. He's good enough. I mean, it's just, but you're looking for his offense.
Yeah, but Howard.
And he's a terrific guy. So it's hard to criticize him.
I'm just saying, this guy is swinging at pitches that a 6-year-old wouldn't swing at.
Well.
Remuto.
Well, how about Harper's strikeout when he swung at the pitch? I think he was just so pissed. I guess it was a pitch in the at bat that he didn't agree with.
But why isn't the question asked to the coaches, whether it's Thompson or Long, why are these guys so undisciplined? What's the answer?
They're asked. They work with him. He works with them every day. Every day.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm not blaming the coaches. I'm not blaming the coaches, because the players, it has to translate to the players, and they have to do it.
Nolan pitched a hell of a game.
The coaches aren't
swinging
the bat. The hitting coach isn't swinging the bat.
I understand that. I understand that. But it's got to get to a point. You got to hold these guys responsible.
Well,
I mean,
I hold the hitter responsible.
I don't know. It's just really frustrating when you see a guy like Aaron Nola, who gets beat up all the time, go out and pitch the game he pitched the other day, and this day just offensively was a flop.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the pitching coach, but that's another thing.
Well, I think the pitching, actually, Howard, the pitching has been very good over the last month.
But again, the players—it's the players that are doing it. I mean, again, it comes down to the players. It comes down. There might be a few little things.
Howard, is this team a playoff team? Third wild card, whatever. Are they a playoff team? Yes or no?
I have serious questions about that. But they're not a World Series team. They may be a playoff team, but they're not a World Series team.
Okay.
I'm resigned to the fact that when you lose the World Series, most teams don't go back and win it, and there's a lot of teams don't go back and do it. I mean, Houston was the most recent because they're really good, but they're not going back this year.
Yeah,
I don't know what I think the Phillies, if they don't get crazy giving away young players, I think in the next year and the year after, I think they're going to be a better team. That's what I think. All right. So what is your the worst process decision?
Well, I don't know if this was said or not, but you draft Mikal Bridges, who's a local guy.
It's already said.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, then I would have to say one of the worst decisions in the process has to be Ben Simmons.
Well, yeah, that was said too. And there's still a couple out there, but I appreciate the call, Mark.
Let's
try to get from Phoenix, Strider. What's happening?
Not too much, Howard. How are you doing, brother?
Good. How are you? You got to make it quick.
Great, man. Yeah, I'm calling because, you know, I can definitely talk into going for Goldschmidt as long as it doesn't take Painter. But you said earlier how much.
Well, it's not going to take
team...
Painter. Painter's not going anywhere.
Right, yeah, I'm pretty sure, too. But
I'm positive.
The team misses Rhys Hoskins, of course, for his back,
yep.
But also because of his leadership in the clubhouse and just how well-liked he is. But getting Goldschmidt means he's gone. Do you think that could actually negatively affect the team, or what?
If they bring Goldschmidt in?
And then Hoskins is gone, and, you know, I mean... Yeah,
it depends. It's kind of interesting what Scott Boras is going to do. He really controls it. I know Rhys would love to stay here, but Scott Boras is going to want, you know, he's coming off an injury. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how that plays out. That's hard to say. But Goldschmidt has a year next year. But if they trade for Goldschmidt, then Rhys Hoskins is not coming back for sure. I don't know that he's coming back anyway, which is kind of a shame. You know, he could go to San Francisco. Gabe Kapler would take him in a second, and he's from that area.
You think we'll see him? Okay.
So that's where it could. All right, what's your the worst process decision?
Well, my vote for worst move of the process is when Josh Harris allowed the league to force Jerry Colangelo on us and come in and heavy-handedly nix the trade that was on the table to Jahlil Okafor at his highest value to Boston for the number 3 pick, which turned out to be Jaylen Brown.
Okay, that wasn't going to happen. I can tell you right now, Danny Ainge is a smart guy. That was bogus. No shot. Now, whether the league they forced him to do something to get, first of all, they could have taken the team away by the bylaws because you're not allowed to purposely try to lose. It's in the bylaws, and they purposely tried to lose. So they could have done it. That would never – I mean, you're not going to force a guy out for that. But that trade was never, ever, ever a reality. Remember, Danny Ainge was the general manager of the Celtics. Smart, brilliant guy. No chance, but that's all right. I appreciate your effort. Thanks. All right. Ben Kenny is our producer today. Ben, I think we kind of agree. It's between two, but I always give the producer the option to pick the winner. The worst process mistake opportunity, either draft, trade, or whatever, what was it in your opinion?
Yeah, to me, it's what Bill and Glassboro said earlier. It's trading Mikal Bridges on draft night. And, I mean, maybe for the fact that he's become great and would have helped the team perfectly, but it's the fact you literally drafted him and you had him and then traded him for absolutely nothing.
Well, yeah, but I guess that's the way the work that they had to get him to trade him. But that was clearly a bad, bad decision, especially with the way he's playing. And they still didn't get him back. He got traded and they still didn't get him back. But my second one was the Simmons trade to the Nets. That was a horrible, horrible horrible trade. He got rid of Simmons, but you could have gotten much better than a declining player to give up Curry, to give up Drummond, so you had no bench, and to give up 2 first-round picks, so now you can't trade Tobias Harris because you need that first-round pick, and they can't trade one until 2029. And really, if you really want to stretch it, Embiid. Jokic was in that draft. I know he was the second round. Was Embiid a mistake? Think about that. But Bill's the winner of the $100 gift certificate to the Bruno Brothers. Congratulations. A lot of good food there for everybody. Check it out at thebruno.com, especially with parties and holidays and all kinds of stuff coming up. All right, it's Jody and Mike Sielski coming up next. Everybody have a great weekend. Phillies baseball this afternoon, 4 o'clock here on WIP. Everybody have a great, great, great weekend. Go six. Oh, can't do that. All right, go Phillies. All right. Everybody have a great weekend. And Ben Kenny doing a great job on the other side today. The time now is 9:57.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.